You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.
You've got a real...
What up? Hi, Brian. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay. That's happy birthday to you is the tune you were just singing.
So, you were saying...
You have like a bit of a...
A little compulsiveness?
Yeah, I was going to say it nicely and say like a collector's mindset. Like,
I do.
You very much, if you like one thing, you're like, well, I need all of them now. That's kind of how your mind works. One could view it as like an addictive.
I don't think I'm addictive at all because it doesn't change.
I think you have a slight addictive personality because
your analysis.
No, but that's good because like you get addicted to work. So you're really, really good at working really long hours because you get addicted to it. Remember when you were remember when you were like, oh, I'm going to start running. And then you go from like, I'm going to start running a little bit to I'm going to be running marathons.
I love running.
But then
that's goal oriented. I don't think that's an addictive. I think that's.
But you don't do things casually.
But you jump all in. But no.
Which is a good thing.
I think I'm goal oriented. I like to be the best at what I do.
But then remember you were like, you know what? I kind of want to start reading. Like, I want to read this book. But then you read like, 4 books a week.
I tried to get into sleep because I tried that. I didn't like
it. No, but you did. Remember, you were reading like a book a week. You were like constantly just reading books for like a month or two.
Okay. I don't think I'm addicted to personality.
I don't think it's a bad thing. But cigars, I like cigars. Now I need to own every cigar. You know?
Cigars are a collector's thing.
But you have a bit of a compulsion to it because you're like, no one can even touch these. You're like, I just have to have them.
Well, it's my stuff. I don't want anybody touching my stuff.
But you're like, I can't even smoke these because they're in my collection.
No, because they're too expensive now. That's a different. There's an economic form. I bought it for, let's say, $300 a box and now $900 a box. I'm like, I'm not fucking smoking them because you can't replace it.
Right, you're like burning the money away.
I know it's terrible. No, but
I'm starting. I like these guns. Let me prep a little bit. And then you're like, now I need 75 magazines to sit around fully loaded.
No, it's different. Let's not exaggerate things.
Oh, sorry, 17? Is that what it is?
I need... For my 9mm guns, I think you need 10 magazines for each gun. That's just a smart thing. It goes in a case filled because it's hard. So that's like insurance. It's an insurance thing.
Okay.
Okay. The ammo, I could be wrong. My gut is telling me there's going to be a problem. I'm a little concerned what's going on in this world. Not where I sit there with fear about it, but I'm concerned. And as a parent and as a husband, and as someone who's, you know me, I've always been a forward thinker. Do I not think about my retirement plan? It's just my personality. I have all the insurance in place, life insurance, health insurance. That's just the way I am. The ammo is sort of like insurance to me. I have a feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, that they're going to stop the ammo to the consumers. I just think I get a feeling about it. Whether the army, when they make it a shortage, whatever it is. So for the 500.
It doesn't go bad.
$300 here, $200 here, $500. I'm like, you know what? I don't, if I buy it, it's just, I got it. It's comfort level. It's nobody, if I never use it, great. And then another thing, I'm also going now more because I joined that private shooting gallery. I am trying to go and you could shoot 50 rounds over this course or whatever. So right. Before you know, you go to 1,000 rounds in like 3 weeks. I want to have the cushion.
Sure. I don't think any of it's bad.
I'm not taking it as bad. I'm just explaining my thought process in that. The cigar thing is sort of like, I guess it's my personality, like even with like the nice bottle of wines, I don't drink. It's something I like saying, look at what I have.
I'm the same way.
It's like a little bit of a collector thing, so I agree with you on that.
I'm that way with-
Not a compulsiveness because-
No, it's not a compulsiveness because you're not like, I need these cigars.
And my friends come over and like, I gave my friend of mine a $300 cigar. Like he could mend the tequila. Right. So I'm not hoarding it.
No.
I don't say you're saying
it's
that.
It's a collecting.
I think it's more of a collecting thing.
I have that inkling too towards like collection.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see in my apartment, it's like full of just knickknacks and shit. You know, it's like stuff that I've collected from around the world. I have all my liquor that I've brought from all over the world that I don't drink it. I don't let people drink it. It's just
Game of Thrones liquor you have.
Yeah. It's like, it's just there to
and
have.
I like looking at it.
Right.
My friends who are into cigars, It's a conversation that you right. talk about.
Like, and then it's like, look, I got this here. Oh, correct. You have that one? Oh, shit.
Correct. And it's not a bragging thing. It's just it's a conversational
It's
thing.
A shared interest that correct. You can talk about.
And it's a common, I agree.
Right, so, like when I have friends who come over that love tequila and they're like, oh my God, how you have this tequila? And I'm like, oh, you think that one's cool? Check out this. I got this in a little Mexican village, you know?
Right.
And so it's, yeah, right. I agree.
And guys, like, you know, and my buddies are into cigars and my buddies are into guns. So we talk about it. And that's what we, I don't know. Yeah. We're just like bigger boys with toys, more toys. No, that's what it yeah. is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
I was just.
I know. But I do think though, when I do something, I go in deep. And I also think that, like, when I find an interest, let me get it out. Let me get all the ammo. Like, so that's just
right. You will go like fully into something
because I can afford to. So why not? Why complicate it?
But let I also think you have that personality. I think I got that from you too. There's like, right. if I'm interested in something, like, right, we're like, oh, we're going to Japan. Bronte, can you book this? And if I'm interested in it, it's like, okay, now I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, but like you're so good at travel.
Everything I can.
You're so good at that
but
stuff.
But like all, it's like autistic, the focus I can get on certain things.
But you're also very good in that travel. Like if you are.
No, but it's because I like it. But then there are times where like I'll want to learn about this one thing or want to like find out more about how to do this. And it's like my focus can get so hyper focused on one thing that it's like, I mean, I think of it as a pro.
Yeah.
Because then if you put that focus towards like, work, you know, it's like I can get my work done so fast because I'm so focused on
correct.
It. Where other people are like, you know, they'll take a break every 10 minutes.
They go off tangent. Well,
they'll like scroll on their phone every 30 minutes yeah, no, for an
I'm
hour.
I'm very conditioned. I think you get that from me. I can sit for like 6 hours in a cubicle in a corner of a library and knock the shit out of them.
Right. I need to, I can do that.
I'm a machine. So the thing is, I don't in any capacity, never took it as a negative what you said. I think that I'm intense, right? I'm definitely an intense person. Would you not agree? And I get shit done. You do know I get shit done. And we all have our roles. Like, for example, mom did that party for me, and I can never do that. I would make a phone call and get it done, but I can never, ever. Mom loves it. She's a mission. She gets it. To me, I'm like, I'm out. I can't do it. But then again, she won't clean, and I knock that shit out. Like we talked about, you know, this morning.
Right.
You and I can get shit done, and we. But it's personality.
Sure, definitely.
Right, but I am a. Except protect and provide. I think the ammo is about protecting and providing.
I also think you like the idea of like, oh, all these new things that I can like get and learn about, and which I'm the same way.
Yeah, it's
like because now you're like, oh, I can learn about this gun. I can have these multiple things in my closet,
and that,
like,
I want I can more collect. Guns because I find it interesting.
Right, right? Exactly, because you find right. it interesting,
and it's my hobby. And now move on to something 6 months down the road.
Right,
but
exactly.
at least this, like you said, is not a
that's
perishable.
That's a useful hobby.
It's a safe thing. It's not a perishable.
It's better than like gambling. You know? It's useful.
Or like I'm going around with these Beanie Babies.
Yeah, well, people thought that was going to be useful. And then that was a huge bust.
Yeah. Hey, you never know.
That's
you,
true.
You never know. Could have been a fucking great thing. You don't know.
But when everyone's I feel like the great things are when people aren't expecting them. If everyone's like, oh, I got to save onto these because they're going to be valuable. It's like, then there's
maybe
no value because everyone's
it's
holding onto them.
30 years ago.
No, they're not. You can go on eBay and get any of them for
but
like
I,
a dollar.
But one last thing about the ammo. I hope I'm wrong. I really think there's going to be a major shortage in ammo. That's why I'm sort of stocking up.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, how are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Last episode, you said one thing, and I was like, oh, interesting, because I feel differently about this. And so I wrote it down to discuss now.
And what was that?
It probably just went in one ear and out the other for you.
Probably.
We talked about, I don't remember what the context was, but you said you were like, now everyone, all like these young kids with their fake diamonds or like lab-grown diamonds. Remember you said something like that?
Yeah, I don't consider that a fake. I'm just saying you could buy more for what they are. Right. So what looks, that's what remember the context of what it was
yes,
in?
Yes, yes.
So I wasn't poo-pooing it.
No, that's not what I mean. But
at all, because I think they're probably the exact same. They're little, what makes them different?
Right, nothing. So that's what I wanted to talk about because I, like real versus lab-grown diamonds, because to me it's like they're the
exact same thing.
Because I feel both ways. On the one hand, I'm like, they're the exact same thing. And then on the other hand, some irrational part of me is like, I don't want to buy a lab grown diamond.
So let's talk.
I want to buy a real one. But then it is the same thing.
So here's the context. So we were looking at something on the internet, and if you
it was on the Patreon,
if you were an OG, you should know what I'm talking about. So Bronze said they were like young. Oh, they must have a lot of money. How do you say it? Well, look at the diamond in her. I go, so I said, you don't know if it's, and I guess maybe I said a regular diamond or a lab grown diamond. Remember, I come from a different generation. This is only a new thing in the past couple of months.
Yeah.
These lab grown diamonds. So if you, what you,
but I'm
you
asking know, your, like,
I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm just mm-hmm. setting up like you set up for the people. For those okay. who don't know, they've come out, and I don't know a lot about it, but they've come up where, you know, they can make like grow meat without in labs or whatever it is in certain foods where you don't need to farm it or to harvest it. Well, they now can make diamonds in a lab, which is a true exact diamond. It's not glass. It's not fake. They can make a diamond where as opposed to going ahead and mining it as a mineral, whatever it is, and cutting it and doing the facets. Right.
It literally, it, when people
it's 100%
say
a diamond,
a real diamond or a lab grown diamond, they're both real right. diamonds.
But the term
one is natural, one's man.
Right. But the terminology, the reason why someone like me, or let's say our my generation or prior generations, it's so new to us.
Yeah.
That I think in two generations from now,
diamonds will be democratized.
It's going to be all literally like De Beers, which is the one that controls right. everything. We'll be out of business.
Right, because it'll all just be everyone. But then also something is sad about that because then it's like diamonds forever have been a status symbol because they've been diamond. But now if you democratize diamonds, right, if diamonds are something that anyone can own, then they're not special anymore. So then diamonds will be dead. No one will, something will replace it, right? Like the engagement ring in 100 years will be something that is now very special.
Like an NFT.
Because right. diamonds won't be special, which that, is a little bit sad.
Yes, I think.
But then again, also,
but,
who cares?
But there is also a component, for example, like we know about the electric cars. When it's electric cars, but we also know there's no resale value in it. So maybe the diamond, like there is an arena and a subculture for estate jewelry, right? People still like estate jewelry.
Meaning like old jewelry.
Yes.
And, okay.
E-S-T-A-T-E, right?
Yeah,
estate,
yeah.
Like.
I'm just saying for people right. like listening.
So I still think that the scarcity and the uniqueness and the meaning behind the diamond that's been mined right. from the earth.
Yeah.
Will still have a value.
There's an inherent value.
Because of the scarcity of it, what goes into it. And now I think that the lab-grown diamonds will make those even worth more is my feeling.
That's a good point. That's a good
to thought. The wealthy, not to someone that's like, you might say, I'm not going to spend $80,000 when I get it for 10 grand and it has, and you know, because you're in a different position. So, and the irony. Well,
what do you think of, go
ahead. I'm sorry, I'm going to get that. And the irony is, because people all about show, whatever, this lab diamond has now, people can get bigger diamonds for less money, which is all more about the show, the flash, the bullshit, whatever it is.
And you know that a lot of people who are having big lab-grown diamonds are not, they're telling people that it's a real diamond. They're not telling people it's a lab-grown
right,
diamond.
Right. So,
but then again, all diamonds are real diamonds.
So here's my thoughts on it. I don't know enough about the lab-grown diamonds. I know they're real diamonds because you could talk to jewelers, I'll tell you it's
I same. Looked it up yesterday because after the episode, I was curious. I was like, is there a difference? They're indistinguishable. The only difference is that on lab-grown diamonds, depending on the lab, they'll put like a serial number on it. They'll engrave a little number just so that you can trace where it came from. So the only way a jeweler can tell is if it has the number. Otherwise, it is completely just, you cannot tell.
So I'll give an example. So mom would say, like I said, mom, if you ever get costume jewelry or a fake Chanel, I'm not buying your real one because I know. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Right, like why buy a fake Chanel when you can buy a real one?
No, why would I ever buy you a real one if you're gonna buy a fake one to mom?
Right, that yeah, we're saying the same thing.
You just said a little opposite.
Yeah, but I'm saying for in your mind, it's like why would I ever buy a real one when you bought the fake one? And then for mom,
I'll never buy you a new one again.
Right,
but they're both leather, right? They're both pocketbooks, no big deal. But I know
pocketbooks.
I know. So I know. I don't have anything wrong with the lab grown. I could afford to buy the other ones, and I've always have, so I'm not comfortable with it yet.
But maybe, if you can't tell the difference, then what's the point? You just want to spend more money for what? Just for what?
No, I guess because I know there's a difference.
But you know what? That it came from a slave.
No,
you know that's the other issue.
Okay, listen, I'm not again. I'm telling you that I'm ignorant.
I'm kind of on your side too. I just feel both ways.
I'm telling you, I have zero issue with it. I'm just not comfortable enough
it's yet. It's too new for you.
Yet. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so old school that maybe in 10 years I'll be like, no, I'm not fucking buying you a real diamond. I mean, see, that's my right. See my mentality, real diamond. I'm not conditioned yet.
Maybe it'll be the term natural diamond. Maybe natural versus lab grown.
Maybe 10 years I'll be like, you know, now, no, that's 50 grand. Get the other one for five. They're both diamonds. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But so here's the thing. So let's talk about a young couple. Let's say if you get engaged or not, whatever, right? Because that's a thing. As a guy,
you want to be like in my mind, I want to buy the original of real. Okay. I feel both ways because it's like
I would say the opposite.
No, but I feel both ways because it's like I want to buy.
We had a moment. We touched on it.
It's like I want to buy. Obviously, it's like if this is a great breakthrough in technology, it can save me 20 grand to buy a lab grown diamond, right?
No, it's
like,
not going to save you. You're just going to buy a bigger diamond. See, that's the mentality. You're not saving.
Well, but then on the other hand, it's like there's something now even more special about a real diamond. If you can propose to your girlfriend and you can be like, this isn't lab grown, and there's value in that.
So let me ask a question. This is how I think. Okay, as a dude, if I was in my 20s, I don't know. I'd have to defer to the girl. What does she want? Does she want a bigger stone that's the lab, or does she want a smaller stone that's from the earth?
I think there are certain women, like how we were saying about collecting, and in my apartment, like most of the stuff in my apartment is old stuff. It's not new. You know, I like got it from this old thing or this blah, blah, blah.
Right, but you're an old soul. You're very unique. And I, as much as I love you, you have to defer to the girl.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like certain women would hold value in the fact that this is something old. Where other women would be like, no, I just want
the
big stone.
Most women want the big stone.
But then there are some women who are like, I just want it to be, I want it expensive. I don't, you know, it's like, someone would be like, I'd rather the smaller stone, but know that it was this price than the bigger stone and know that it was lower price.
You have to ask the girl.
Right. But it's just interesting. These are new debates that are going to be coming up.
100%.
And I do think.
100%.
Yeah. But then the other interesting thing too is that like a lot of women will probably inherently, their first reaction will be like, I want a real diamond, not a lab grown.
Oh, valid. Okay.
Because they're like, but then it's like, if you think about it, they're arguing, not arguing, their position is on the side of, because like what comes with real, people call them blood diamonds. What comes with diamonds is like bad stuff comes from getting diamonds.
Same with electric vehicles.
Yes. But diamonds, we know about it. Everyone knows about it, you know? And at least an electric vehicle has a purpose. It drives from A to B. A diamond has no purpose. It's just a rock that's on your finger. But slaves worked in a mine and probably died and all this stuff to get it. And a lot of crime is involved.
Isn't it terrible when you break it down like that? Like,
but with lab grown,
no one should ever wear a diamond in.
Right. And so that's been a big thing. And a lot of women, a lot of like, you know, more like grape nutty women too, are like, I don't want diamonds because they're tainted.
Yeah, I get it.
But this lab grown solves that problem. You know, there's no bad blood that goes into it. But a lot of women will still be like, no, I want a natural diamond, even though it comes with all of that baggage.
And it's the way we're conditioned. Get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I think on something like that, unlike mom and I who are married together for 30 plus years, we can have that conversation and I'll get her whatever she wants. I think on new couples that are looking to get married, I think the man has to defer to the girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I don't think the man.
But doesn't the man always, if you're proposing, shouldn't you always defer to what she wants? You don't buy the ring that you want. You buy her what you think she wants, right?
No, actually,
engagement ring?
Listen. I've always picked out mom's jewelry. Always. I picked it out.
No, but you know what she likes.
Yeah, but we didn't have that. We didn't have that dilemma of lab or natural. But I knew.
But still, with like there are shapes, there are cuts, settings.
Just like you talk about how many kids you want, shit like that.
But like a lot, like there are certain girls that want like really, really extravagant rings, engagement rings, and then there are some that are like simple, classic. You know, just the ring.
I think like mom, it was a nice round stone with the nice baguettes on the side. That's it. Tiffany said it was classy, elegant. I think that's the richest. It never goes out of style.
Yeah, and I think the simple, elegant ones for engagement rings. And you got to have always
nice baguettes on each side.
What's that? Stone on each side?
Yeah, they're like little, they look like triangles. It's really nice.
Okay.
And trillions are baguettes. And we've always never got rid of Mom Stones. We've always, most people upgraded. I've always kept all Mom Stones. Yeah. Doesn't wear a lot of them, but we kept them.
Right, because there's, I mean, there's value in that. And then also, like, that's another thing that, like, if I was a girl and I was in this dilemma of, like, what kind of ring do I want, lab grown, all this stuff, if it was me and I was the woman deciding, I would be like, I want an old stone. I want, like, an heirloom. I want something that other people have worn and that's been passed down.
Yeah, but you're an old soul
that people aren't
like
buying, you know. But then a lot of women are like, no, I want a new, I want something that's new that someone spent money on for me.
Okay, if I was a chick, I would want, I'm like you, I'd rather have some family that's generational. That's what I would want.
Yeah, I would want something that like has been passed down.
Right, that it has meaning.
And there's something really special in that. And now I get to wear it for my life.
And I give it to my children. And it keeps going lineage.
But a lot of people would feel the opposite. A lot of people would be like, no, I want something new that is just for me. And I want...
just different personalities.
Yeah, right. Of course.
100% me. Things that were passed down mean a lot more to me than a new thing.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about new things. I can always buy them.
Even
new,
like
new things I can always buy. Like if you right. like a car, I can say if I sold it, like Uncle Brian is mm-hmm. different. He's like, even Mom, like I can, how do you let it go? I go, because I can always buy it. Like if it's a Range Rover, Bentley, whatever it is, even a watch, I can always buy it. But if it was given to me by, let's say, my dad, I'm never selling it.
Yeah. Or like
never in a million
like
years.
Like your Porsche, let's say in like 20 years, you had your Porsche, or I could buy a Porsche. That was the same one. It's like I'd way more, your Porsche has so much more value to me than a new Porsche.
I agree.
So much more value. Even if it does, even monetarily, if it's less value,
well, it'll be worth more about that point. But I love, like I've given all you kids my watch or jewelry. That I love that you're gonna give that one day to your fucking kids. Like,
yeah, right.
That's huge. And then they'll be able to go on the podcast and say, "This is my great grandpa's fucking."
They'll go
watch
on the podcast.
They'll look.
Oh, they'll be able to see. Right,
the footage. We don't have. Yeah. I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So in four generations, Bryce will be able to say, that guy, that's the fucking Breitling I'm wearing that you have.
Right.
How cool is that?
But my watch was Pa's, then yours, then mine. And it's like, that's
I love
so
that
cool.
Shit. I will never give any of that shit away. It's
and I tell everyone, whenever anyone is like, oh, that's a nice watch, I'm like, oh, well, get ready for a whole story. Yep. And I tell them a whole story.
Yep.
Even if they didn't ask, but I'm like, it's so cool.
So I like that component.
But I think a lot of women, would even feel that way about other things. But when it comes to there's something specific about diamonds. I think they're conditioned to be like, I want a diamond.
I think it depends on the woman. I think that, imagine if a woman had something that known was generational. I think that's like, cause to me, if I was a woman, I'd be like, how important the meaning behind it is so much greater than, because you can always get fucking diamonds.
And now like the history of this, like it's been entrusted to me.
Right. What an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
And then speaking of De Beers, I was looking at this too, right? That's the name of the company.
Yeah.
They're like, they own like the whole diamond trade.
Yeah.
It's all a sham. Did you know this? They like, so the whole point on why diamonds are like special and stuff is because they're scarce.
Is this where they have everything in storage and they give it out in inventory and it's all to create the
scarcity.
Aura.
Yeah. They have a shit ton of diamonds and they keep them in warehouses. And they don't. They keep them
it's
purposely,
and
they
demand.
Just let out a few a year. They're like, okay, here are the diamonds that a few diamonds that
supply
we found this
demand.
Year. But they have trays and trays of them in their warehouses, and it's just to keep the price inflated.
But
it's like what Chanel did. Chanel price like started being like, okay, you know what? We're gonna sell less purses. We're gonna make less,
more, yeah.
And we're gonna raise the price.
Rolex had to do that too. Yep. So what happens is this?
That's crazy.
Different than
it's smart.
Different than Chanel. And Rolex, the diamond industry, the resale of diamonds is like a big business. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't stop that. But Rolex or Chanel, we can because it's of the patents and the infringement and things like that. So,
but people resell Rolex
all
the time.
My point is, they'll take your deal. Like, I'm talking a store. I'm not talking about you and I privately. If Rolex were to go ahead and do that. A dealership, they'll take your dealership away. They'll take your license
But then
away.
What about like people who...
Different consumer to consumer.
No, I know, but like people who have like a watch shop, they have to get permission from Rolex to sell Rolex?
No, not if you buy, you can, but if you are a certified Rolex dealer,
right.
You can't do that. So my point is it creates a scarcity of it. All right. So the black, but also creates this whole secondary market.
It boosts up the second hand market.
Because you can't get them.
Right.
So I get why the business want to do that, because the eliteness, you know, for example, Gucci. You know, Gucci used to be something that was like, meant something, like the label on it.
Right. It was a high-end brand. Like,
now, every hoodlum wears it. Everyone that wants to label whatever. I don't even wear my Gucci sneakers. I don't even wear them anymore.
Because it's not scarce.
There's no, because it took away the
eliteness.
Elegance and eliteness. Exactly right. So you can understand why these stores or these companies like Chanel or Hermès, I like that they do.
Oh,
that.
I think it's great. Like Hermès, literally, like to get a Birkin, you have to be invited. Like they don't just sell them in the stores. You have to, they have to seek you out to buy one. I think that if you're an elite brand, you should be doing elite shit like that. You shouldn't be selling to the masses. But that's what was my point about like lab-grown diamonds now are going to make it so that everyone can buy a diamond. Diamonds might not be elite anymore. And no matter what, even real ones.
You're right.
Because like you have your white gold watch. And to you say, you're like, I like that it's white gold because to everyone else, it looks like stainless.
Correct.
But to me, it looks like white gold.
Right.
But women don't think that way. Women are like, I want the gold so that people can see that it's gold.
Correct.
So people are not going to be like, I have a natural diamond. I know it's natural, but everyone might think it's lab made. People are going to be like, I don't want diamonds because every Joe Schmo and his wife have diamonds. It's like.
You're right. I think it's like AI is great, but it's going to harm the people that invented it. I think the lab-grown diamonds are going to hurt the industry.
Oh, absolutely. Or it's like, remember when a year or two ago, I predicted this too. This was another Bronson prediction that came true.
Pat yourself on the back.
But it is. I said, Kim Kardashian created that whole look with the big butt, the curvy, all that stuff. I was like, this look has gotten too popular. Everyone looks like that now. Kim is going to for sure change her look eventually. And remember I said, I was like, I think it's going to go back to like the 90s, thin blonde, all that
stuff.
I think
she looks better now.
And everyone changed it. Ariana Grande, she used to be like curvy Latina looking. Now she literally hits like pale skin blonde.
What she looks
very,
like
very.
Yeah, but I agree with
you. She looks like a little white girl now where she didn't used to look like that. And I said, it's because if everyone looks one way, then the elite are going to be like, we don't want to look like the masses. Yep. And so if everyone's wearing diamonds,
no, Brian, the elite aren't going to wear diamonds. It's 100% going to harm.
I'll show you what she looks like now. Like, this is what she used to look like, you know, like very like
I remember that,
Latin.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, this is like a current picture of her.
Ugh.
Let me see.
She's still with that guy?
Yeah, the weird looking guy. Yeah. See, like, look, this is.
Oh, she looks gross.
But she's like pale and blonde hair.
Yeah, I don't like
that. Where she used to, like, that looks like a Latin woman.
Yeah.
And this looks like a white woman. They're completely different looking pictures.
But I do agree with you. I do think I think it's going to harm the diamond industry.
Maybe like a stone that can't be replicated, like jade or something that has to come from the earth.
I don't know.
Rubies or something. Maybe.
I wonder, can they make colored diamonds? In the lab.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, helping you plan, get ready for Valentine's Day and your just daily
routine.
Yeah.
You're being clean.
For real, which is very important. A lot of men neglect that aspect of them. And that's like the key for what women are looking for. Like if a girl is kind of interested in you, one of the main things she's looking for is your hygiene.
Your grooming.
Right.
Habits.
And it's a lot of men, it's like out of, you know, the scope of what they think
the
about.
Nose hairs, they have hair growing out of their ear, the back of the neck, you don't know where the fucking hairline separates from the back because they all look like one. It's gross.
Yeah.
It is gross. And as a guy, I see it, it's fucking gross.
And if you don't even know where to start with that, or you think you got it down, but you don't know.
You don't have it down.
Manscaped has got you covered. Head to manscaped.com, check out all their products. They got something for everything that you'd need. They have the Lawnmower 5.0, which is their new trimmer. You can use it everywhere in your body. It's great. It's got
travel with it.
Yeah. It's wireless charging. It's waterproof. It's compact. The thing is great. I never worry about nicks or cuts with it. I use it everywhere. It's got multiple different size settings.
And far superior from the prior version, which we thought was great. The new version is fucking, the technology is unbelievable.
Yeah. And they have a bunch of other stuff. They're always coming out with new stuff. So if you have older Manscaped products, I would go to the website, check out They probably have a newer version of what you have, and they improve on it. Trust me.
Great Valentine's gift.
Yeah.
For your man. If you, I'm telling you, it's a great fucking Valentine's gift.
So head over to manscaped.com, use the code DADDYISSUES20. You'll get 20% off your order and free shipping. So go there, check out all their stuff. Check out their ball deodorant. That's my new favorite thing. And all their products. So once again, manscaped.com, use the code DADDYISSUES20, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping.
I don't know. I don't know, because those are pink and yellow diamonds are very elite.
The Hope Diamond is blue. I've seen that in person. Where is that? Is that that's at, in DC, the Hope Diamond, or is it in London?
We saw it.
Because I've seen it before.
I think it was London, if I'm not
I think
mistaken.
It's at the like British Museum of History. Yeah.
But so, or that's, it's at the Smithsonian. So that's an interesting thing you brought up.
Yeah.
So I don't think negative of it. I'm just not comfortable with it yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I'd be curious to hear listeners' point of view, especially like women. How do you feel about this? Because me, I feel both ways. There's part of me that like values, this came from the ground. This is like a real diamond. And then there's another part of me that's like, they're the exact same thing.
And this is the ring. You know, when you break it down, it's just a ring. Like, really, who cares?
I know, but people, we as a society have put value on that.
I get it. I get it. It's not like...
Or like gold, right? Like
gold's, yeah.
We put value in gold. Gold is useless. Gold is just a metal, and it's the worst metal. Like platinum or titanium, right? These metals are like valuable because they're good. You can make things out of them. You can build a building out of titanium, and it's really strong. Gold is weak. I could break gold with my hand. You know, it's like very weak metal.
I guess they did it because it was flashy back in the...
It was a nice color. That's the only reason.
But I think like a watch, it's different. Like the mechanism, the movement. Diamonds... And by the way, you buy a diamond. Let me tell you about a natural diamond. You buy a natural diamond for 50 grand. You sell it a week later. The guy, same guy will give you back 25 grand. He'll buy it for you. The same thing he sold a week ago to you, 50. He'll buy it from you for 25. He'll never buy it for 50.
Yeah. Why? Just because he can?
Because it's a crock of shit. It's so overinflated. No, right. It's like artwork. It's so subjective and so overinflated.
There's no inherent
and
objective value.
So market driven and what they say. VS color this, that's just one, whatever. I don't even know the terminology. Okay. Clarity this, whatever. But I'm telling you, they will never buy it back at the same price. Just like a car, unless it's a fucking Ferrari or a certain car, they fucking lose 30 grand, $30,000 to $40,000 a year, these high end cars.
Yeah, but the cars are specific because there's use on them. The diamond, there's no use. I'm just making a point, I just want it for this price.
So jewelry is a ripoff, but it is a waste of money, but it's a necessity.
And it's human. That's what it's so interesting about it. Literally, we'll find bodies, you know, they'll like uncover
buried
bodies
mummies,
from 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And these people were adorned with jewelry. It's like, it's so interesting. That's just human.
We're still tribal with the tattoos.
It's not even.
We are.
It's not tribal. It's just like. It's interesting. I think it's just a natural human, like how certain birds, they'll like pluck colorful feathers and put them into their body to like or adorn themselves.
Or their nests.
Yeah. Humans, we like putting shiny things on our bodies. It's so funny.
And even tattoos. Like that was.
Yeah. It's still tattoos have been around. We like.
For God knows how many years.
We like decorating our bodies either with metal, jewels, or
clothes, ink, or whatever. Right. Everything.
Yeah. But like why? There's no I guess it's just.
And it wasn't. I know that business and social media and TV and advertising and marketing has influenced it, but it wasn't 500 years ago when people were doing it.
Exactly. And
right.
4,000 years ago, they were wearing a bunch of jewelry, more than we probably do now.
Right.
And in, yeah, everywhere, all around the world. Everyone. Yeah. It's not just like one culture.
You're 100%.
Every culture was wearing jewelry.
Yeah.
In like the Incas and the Aztec, they wore the
big hoop, the ear and necks.
And they wore big headdresses and all that stuff.
Yes.
And, like everyone did it. In China, ancient China, they did it. Like it's just
interesting.
It's just a natural human thing to be like, that's shiny. I want it on me. It's so funny. And we still do it.
It isn't shallow is what you're saying because it's who we are. That's genetically wired.
Exactly. My initial like inkling is to be like, there's no point to this. It's so stupid. People are fall for the marketing. And it's like, no. It's a human condition to want to wear jewelry.
And some cultures more than others.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But every culture still wants to.
Like the Asian culture is more simplified, but they like the...
But
they like Hermès, they like Chanel, but
love not, like the clothes.
But it's not gaudy. There's a difference. There's different styles for different cultures.
Sure.
And different bling factors.
Right, right. But like, everyone is still wearing jewelry, like, just different styles of jewelry.
Like the black culture will have 7 different logos, Gucci, Chanel, Versace, right. And
they want
wear.
The brands.
The Middle Easterns love that Versace gold.
They love gold.
They, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Or like the Italian, like when you watch Sopranos, everyone's wearing gold.
Absolutely.
They're just all in gold. But then like Asian cultures probably aren't wearing as much gold.
But they're
because they like it less showboaty.
But very expensive stuff.
Right, right.
And the black community is labels, heavy labels. It's interesting how things are, right?
Right. It's all the same idea. It's just different iterations of
and
it.
And Jewish community love jewelry.
Yeah.
They love jewelry. Like, they like wearing jewelry.
But not even name brand. They're like, I don't want name brand. I want it the real,
No, but they love jewelry.
Oh, it's absolutely. It's a big, one of the biggest industries in our culture is the jewelry trade. Yeah. People think of the jewelry trade as Jewish because it's run by.
Did you see that? It was like an 8 or 6 episode. It was on one of the, I forget. It was a good series about the diamond industry. Whatever.
A diamond? No. Yeah. But Uncut Gems is a great movie.
Great movie. But it's funny how each culture has it. But you're right. I think there is a shallowness to it in the way the marketing, just here before you cut me off, before the marketing industries got involved, but there's 100% a genetic component of how we are wired, like the fight and flight thing, because it's been around for thousands of years and there was no marketing and advertising.
Yeah, it's just natural. I bet cavemen would see a shiny thing and like be like, I want to take this home. This is special to me. I'd be curious if like chimps and apes do that too. If they like have little things that they collect, because I know like chimps have pets.
Interesting.
They'll keep pets. They'll like find a little squirrel or something and they'll like hold it and they'll like want to bring it around with them and like pet it and stuff.
Huh.
So that's a natural thing too.
Poor squirrel must have been shitting a fucking brick.
Yeah. But then we do that with like animals. We just take them.
But they're bred differently.
We just take hamsters. They're squirrels, you know, just a rat.
But in the forest where tribes had never met other tribes, right? So they were only their tribe. They did this stuff, tattooing and jewelry. So we know it's an innate thing.
Right. Definitely.
No influence. It's innate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you just took, I mean, even babies see something shiny. They're like, I want that.
And they put it in their
mouth.
And
you see like a gold shiny, but then also like, if you saw an emerald, even if you didn't know that there was any value in it, right? Like no one ever taught you, you would be like, ooh, you would want to go near it.
Like my rock collection.
Yeah, your rock collection.
I love my, I used to go to rock shows. I'm not talking concerts. All right, what else you got there, Brownie?
Okay.
So I hope I answered your question.
I didn't give you any advice, but I hear it. I wasn't seeking any advice. I thought it'd be an interesting conversation because I didn't know where you stood on it.
And I don't know where I stand on it completely, but my advice is ask the girl what she wants.
Yeah, that's definitely the...
Be a smart man.
Okay. So, let's see. There are a few other interesting things, but I'll just like bring up one, I guess. I don't know. Do you want to go like more like interesting, not political?
How funny
or do
I goes, I want to get my Carmella Cove. She goes, yeah, I want to see someone knocking out of your hand.
Yeah.
Real nice. All right, go ahead.
Do you want to go like interesting idea thing, like more similar to what we were talking about, or like a triggering political, not political, but a triggering social thing?
Triggering social thing.
Okay.
Because we just did the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Let's give the people what they want, bitches.
Okay. So this is a whole article that I saw.
Am I sitting up straight or no?
No. You're sitting up straight, but your shoulders are crunched
now
over.
I'm sitting up straight?
Yes, shoulders
very
back.
Very uncomfortable, by the way.
I know, but it's because we're not used to
I
it.
I like this. This is comfortable.
You look like... You don't look as like strong with this. Your shoulders look bigger and your chest looks bigger when you put
better?
It back.
Yeah. I know. Should I get breast implants?
No. This was a whole article that he's texting the family group chat.
But he might be on his way back from Tampa, see what we're doing. Can I just...
Yes. What's he saying?
Oh. 3 U.S. soldiers died in a drone strike last night at our base in northern Jordan. It was from an Iranian-backed militant group. Aren't our soldiers in the region dying every day? That's what mom says? So I'm already fucked up. All right, go ahead, Bronnie. I'm sorry. So there was an article.
Yeah, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. That's just like on a crazy topic, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. So we can just read the article, and you can react to
you got it
because it's. I didn't even know. Like, I mean, I guess this is a thing. part of it makes sense, and then part of it is like weird. So the title is Stay at Home Girlfriends Are Having a Moment. That social media offers a Gen Z take on
Gen life. Gen Z is what?
You? Burke's generation.
Okay.
A Gen Z take on life outside the workforce with minimal housework and maximal self-care. The typical stay-at-home girlfriend video opens on a young woman in a pristine apartment. At 8 a.m., she makes the bed and cooks pancakes for her boyfriend before he goes to work. After a green juice, it's time for self-care, a private Pilates reformer session, and a microcurrent facial. Then she has lunch with the girlfriend at a local hotspot, goes for a long walk, and listens to a podcast before it's time to get ready for date night. Clips like this are abound on TikTok. Smooth, hypnotic videos presenting an idealized vision of a traditional marriage, minus the wedding ring, plus a dose of a current wellness boom. Being a stay-at-home girlfriend, or SAG for short, is all about supporting your boyfriend with tasks like cooking and housework, plus a rigorous self-care regimen and keeping up appearances. The phenomenon reflects a Gen Z move away from mid-2000s girl boss hustle culture and towards aspirations of a softer life, which is that's kind of stuff we've been talking about like how women are being like, I don't want to, like, well, I was taught I should be working and all that stuff, but I don't want to do that.
No, the difference was, I hear you, but that, I would say, how's it working out for you? They wonder why they can't meet a man, because people want to be with people. But wait, is there a video?
I mean, we can look at all the TikToks on it. Let me see. I'll go to TikTok.
The labels.
So, but it's interesting. It's like stay-at-home girlfriend. So these women are like, I'll stay at home. I'm not going to work. This
girlfriend,
man's going to take
not
care
a spouse,
of, right. This
no
man's going to take care of me, but
I don't agree with that.
I'm his girlfriend, not his wife.
I want to watch some videos and I'll tell you how I feel about it.
Okay, let's
and
see.
And the labels.
Let's
oh my
do stay
God.
At home.
I can't believe there's all these fucking things out there. It's retarded. Let me see. I can't hear.
Hold on. Hold on. I got to connect it to this.
1 second.
This is everything I did for my boyfriend today as a stay-at-home girlfriend. The first thing I always do is make him a coffee. He loves these lattes.
He needs to eat, by the way.
Cinnamon on top. And then I take it down to his office for him. And then he handed me his water bottle to fill up. And I realized I had to change the water filter, which
he looks like
some
he's
help
a
with.
Dad.
And then I've continued to fill up his water with ice cubes. I tidied up our room.
I mean, to even film all this is weird.
It's cringy, isn't it?
Unloaded the dishwasher and
all right, play another one.
And the comments are
get a life.
This says so you are worth so much more. One person said, "Blink twice if you need help."
That's funny.
And then another person said, "This is my aspiration." Someone said, "Girl, I'm happy you're fine with staying home all day, but there's so much else to do." Someone said, "This is a nightmare. This is what a nightmare is for me." Let's see.
Let's see another one.
As a stay-at-home girlfriend, my boyfriend brings me breakfast in bed. He does this because he knows I hate getting out of bed early in the morning because of how cold it is. And he's also the chef. He enjoys cooking, so I just let him do his thing. I asked him to clean up the bathroom because I need
next
to
one,
get
please.
There and look presentable for myself.
That sounds like a stay-at-home boyfriend.
Here's the unglamorous reality of a stay-at-home girlfriend. Truth is, I'm bored a lot. I don't shop every day. I don't get massages or facials every day. Some may ask, well, why don't you work? I do. I'm a content creator, but filming a video takes an hour max, which leaves me with 23 hours left. Most days, I'm organizing the house or looking for things to furnish the house with. I don't enjoy cooking for myself, so I order in a lot.
I don't understand what... Because a stay-at-home mom, right? The whole point is that there are children.
You chose to raise those, so that's your career.
That's a full job. Like,
and then some.
Yeah. And it's like you have there's so much going on because you have a husband and children. These women have nothing. They're girlfriends. I don't understand what the.
I think it's a sad at home girlfriend. That's terrible. Yeah. I don't agree. Thank you. I don't. Here's my opinion. As old fashioned as I am and having roles, I don't agree with that. I think it's pathetic. I think it's a girlfriend. You both should be working, you both should be experiencing life, have a relationship. I think even a stay-at-home fiance is wrong. I think married couple, even stay-at-home wife is wrong. I think once you have kids, different story. But until you have kids, both should be working, both should be contributing, things like that. That's just my opinion. I don't think that anyone that, if you don't have kids, if you're a woman, you should be working, period. not older mom's age. I'm talking, you raised your kids. But yeah, when you're young,
kids.
I'm saying when you're young, why shouldn't the woman work?
Yeah, but that was not a thing up until like 50 years ago.
I'm 57. I'll give you my opinion. Yeah. I think a woman should work.
I mean, I guess women used to work too, but they would work like on a farm. They would work for the family.
And for the woman, it gives you self-worth. It gives you money in your pocket.
How could they be satisfied?
It gives you independence. Why would you want to rely only on your boyfriend financially?
Right. It's not your husband.
Stupid. Correct. You're not building a future.
It's bizarre.
And here's the thing. And even if you're married as a young couple and you don't have kids, why wouldn't the woman want to still work and contribute? You're a team. I don't think she'd only fall on the man. Different story. If the man and the woman says, look, when we have kids or as soon as a child's born, that's your job. I'll bust my ass. I'll work, provide for everyone. And you collectively agree on that. And that's what you want to do. But if you're both no kids and you're both working and you're both married, why wouldn't the girl work? I don't get it. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
I think this is sad. And I think it's just a crock of shit. I don't think this is really true. That's my feeling.
No, I think a lot of, because in the last like 10 years, last like 30 years, women were taught like, you need to go, you need to be out working, hustling, be better than the men, do all this. Like that was like what the society was telling them. And I think, which we've talked about a lot, I think a lot of younger women who are like coming up in the workforce now, like graduating college, starting to get jobs, they're like, I don't want to do this. I want to.
Because they're lazy? Stay.
No, but women 100 years, like, I don't think women by default not like want to work. I think that's and I think that's what you think too.
No, I think that when I'm old fashioned. So I think that when mom and I had kids, her job, and she agreed, was to raise the kids.
Right, but was she like, no, you're pulling me away from work? I think women like are like want that lifestyle.
But
they want to be at home. They want to raise children. Okay. They want to shop and do nothing and have nice.
Two different things. Want to be at home and raising children. When you're raising children, it's very hard, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when you raise your kids, you put that in and they reach a certain, let's say, financial position. Then you might say, I want to go out and shop and do whatever. I get that women want to shop more and so forth.
They're not even shop, but just like lives of leisure. I think that's what ideally women would want, where men want
to get at work. Purpose. Men need more of a purpose in that regard. But I think that when you're a girlfriend doing that.
Right. It's bizarre. Because it's also, you're setting yourself up for failure, because what if the guy just breaks up with you? You're fucked.
Which
now
is what will happen. Because the guy's not going to respect her. The other thing is, though, I also don't agree, until you have kids, why can't the woman work?
Yeah, but what if they don't want to?
I don't know. I think that's a problem for the man. Why wouldn't the, if you're, let's say, let's take you, okay? And your girlfriend. Let's say you're married and you don't have kids. You're going to be happy with her not working or doing whatever? Would you?
I would just think, what are you doing all day?
Correct. And then you know what happens? Then they start getting resentful. Because like, wait a minute, you're doing nothing.
Right. And I'm at least when a stay-at-home mom is at home with the kids, like, you're doing
totally different.
There's real work and
totally
value.
Totally different. You can't say, what are you doing all day? Because that's right. Fucking. Now, you could say, when the kids are in school, what do you do all day?
Yeah, but even then, it's like, if she's cleaning the house, I get cooking.
It, but she also raised the kids. It's different.
Right.
But, because I remember, I was like, women, you're not, you know, I think it's very important for if the woman can work, it's not derogatory. It's a good thing. And the women feel better about themselves.
And it's good. It is good for the relationship. Because if you're a boyfriend and it's like your girlfriend's living
so stupid.
Your girlfriend's living at your apartment and just hangs around your apartment all day and you go out and work and then you have to pay for all her stuff. I would have resentment.
I 100% say her mom did not want mom working when we were raising the kids. That was our thing. But I think when a woman can work and it doesn't take away from raising the kids, whether it's before or after, I am 100% in favor of it, because people get bored. When you get bored and you have too much time in your hands, it could create problems. And you also need to feel a sense of self-worth. I also know that women, no matter how much old-fashioned you are, I know mom's a perfect example of it, they don't want to rely, they like to have their own little money. They don't want to rely only on the man. Because it's somewhat demeaning to them, say, can I have money? Or I took this out of this account, whatever. they want to have be able to do what they want to do. And like, you know, remember when you started working, you have the money in your pocket, it gives you a sense of self-worth. It's just the human nature. It gives you power, it gives you control, it gives you a purpose. I don't think that the woman should be completely 110% reliant on the man if she has the freedom and time to earn income.
Especially if she's a girlfriend, not
well, girlfriend, your wife. That this thing is, I think it's just, I think it's just a fad. And it's just another thing that come up, like when they said the girl boss thing. I don't agree with that shit.
Sorry, I just saw this.
And it was like, I never even knew this stuff even existed.
Yeah, me neither. I saw this art, and this is in the Wall Street Journal. I was like, this is such a bizarre phenomenon that's going on. I don't know any of
these. Stay-at-home girlfriend. Give me a break. Do we know anyone?
I don't know anyone who fits into this. I mean, I know a lot of women that are my age that like work, but they work like a job that's not like really that demanding. And they like do a lot of things
we called it an MRS degree. A lot of women went to undergrad for an MRS degree.
I know a lot of girls who were like in marketing or in social media, you know, and that's their job. And they do work at a company, but it's like, they don't work that hard.
Dads are paying more because they don't make enough money.
Right, right. Most women I know, the vast majority, 90% of the girls that I know that are my age that I'm friends with, don't, like their life is
subsidized
by their parents.
Mom and I, it's funny because you know, mom, when she was working,
I think it's a generational thing though.
Yeah, back mom then. She had to move back home. She had to live at home.
Yeah.
For a job she wanted.
I really don't know. I can count on one hand the girls that I know that their parents don't subsidize their life.
Do you think the parents would subsidize, you know my view on this. Do you think the parents would subsidize their daughter when they're still married, when they get married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
you have a problem with that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I have a huge problem with that.
Yeah. And I think that's happening a lot.
That's going to cause divorce.
Oh yeah. That's why would the parents ever do that? I mean, they're setting themselves up for failure because if they're supporting
kids up for failure.
Yeah.
Right.
If they're supporting and giving a lifestyle one, like for 26 years, 27 years, and then why would the daughter expect that lifestyle to change?
And you know what it's also saying? To the son-in-law, you are less than because you can't provide for my daughter.
Right. You can't give her the life that she wants, so I'm going to do
it. Okay. How pathetic
is that? Undermining the whole relationship.
It's undermining that you're the man of the household and you're the husband. You do understand how bad that is. When I say that, it's truthful. Imagine your father-in-law giving your wife money because you can't provide what he thinks she should be living.
But then also imagine
that's fucked up.
Imagine your wife being like, "I want more, so I want more than the life that we have. So I'm going to go to my dad to do it." It's like no, you if you don't have a lot of money, you when you're young and you're a new couple, like you shouldn't have a lot of money. Like grow it together, and then,
when you're my age, you look back and you value it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a huge problem.
It's such
a
disrespect to the son-in-law. It is such, and if the wife
and to the daughter, to your daughter.
If the wife, no, because a lot of these girls are taken care of by daddy, right?
But I know, but as the dad, you're like doing a disservice by giving your daughter money
now,
when she's
married.
If the
girl takes the money without the husband knowing, also huge.
Well, that's disrespectful.
Like, I'm shitting on you. Like, you can't give me, you're not the man in my house, so I got to go to daddy.
Right.
That's and it happens all the time. That's
and if she's not like, if she's a stay-at-home girlfriend,
right,
and getting the money too.
That's like fucked up shit, and that happens all the time. It's mostly Jewish parents doing it to their kids.
Well, that's what you know, because we only really know Jewish families.
That's fucked up. When I lay it out like that, like I'm against that, right? I've always said it. You know where I stand at. But when I say it out loud like that, it's so disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Okay, should we do a fatherly advice?
Yeah, we haven't done one in ages.
I think this one maybe fits in with that idea.
Wow, that's some fucking mean shit.
All right, this is kind of long.
Wow, that's long.
Yeah. Do you want me to go to a different one?
No, read it.
Okay, this is from Grace. It says, "Hi, John and Bron. I've been a fan of your podcast since 2021, and I always look forward to listening to your podcast at the beginning of the week. I'm currently engaged, and I'm getting married this coming August. My fiance and I, mainly me, are conflicted about what we should do for our living situation after our marriage. We currently live separately with roommates and already have an idea of what area we'd like to live in. The area we want to live in would be closer to his family, church, his work, which is at the church, the soccer league we play in, and I plan on looking for a new job around there after the wedding. My fiance's parents offered us to move in with them after the wedding to save money.
Nope, and they don't do it.
And they wouldn't charge us rent. They said we could have the whole basement to ourselves and make it our own apartment. The basement already has my fiance's bedroom, a full bathroom, a workout room, living room, and a little bar. Also, when we looked for apartments, we struggled to find ones that would take our dog because she's a German Shepherd, and a lot of apartments have a restriction against that breed. And my fiance's parents already have two of them that she sees all the time, so she'd be welcomed at their house. My fiance and I talked about his parents' offer privately, and we both agreed that we didn't want to live in his parents' basement, but understood we could save a lot of money for our future. We hadn't given his parents an answer yet, but I told my fiance I was 50-50 on the decision, and he told me he was 90% for it. I told my parents about the offer for my fiance's family, and right away they were not supportive of it, which I knew that they wouldn't be. My parents sat me down and talked to me about how it's a bad idea to live with my in-laws and how it would hurt my relationship with my fiance. They talked to me about how important it is for us to live alone during our first years of marriage and that they would be worried his family would have influence over our relationship. Also, they told me that we shouldn't be worried about saving money when we're first married and that we wouldn't be able to afford a house for a long time anyways. I was shocked that my parents were telling me not to worry about saving money, especially because my whole life my dad drilled into our heads the importance of saving money. After the conversation with my parents, I saw some of the points they were trying to make about building that relationship with my fiance in our own home with privacy and not letting outside influence into our relationship. So I brought up the discussion to my fiance and it started a little fight between us. He thinks if we don't save the money by living with his parents, we'll never be able to afford a house. Also, he thinks my parents may be jealous of his because we're closer to his family than mine. We currently live 45 minutes from our families. We just do more activities with his family than with mine. But overall, he told me he would follow my lead on the living situation, and we agreed we needed to do what's best for us. I have gotten some outside opinions, and the only ones who are against my fiance and me living with his parents are my own parents. We're both conflicted about what we should do for a living situation in the coming months, and I feel in the middle since my fiance stated he would let me make the decision, and I feel like I can't talk to either family about it. So what would you do in my situation?
Very easy. You know my answer.
Okay, give it.
100 fucking percent do not move in to the basement. Do not move in with your in-laws. Your parents are 1,000% correct in what they said. If your future husband and you cannot afford to live in your own place, then you cannot afford to get married. He is the man. You are going to be the wife, okay? You need to live on your own. You need to build that. Those are very, very important years. Do not move in with your parents. Do not move in with his parents. It is a mistake. Some people agree with it and do it, and it works. Personally, my own opinion is you are now going to be husband and wife. You are your own unit. Create your little world. Get close together. Build your future. Don't worry about the house right now. Live your life. Do what you need to do. It will come. Money doesn't happen right away, but there will always be things you say, I need more money for. I want to save. I want to whatever it is. I'm telling you right now, it will come. You sound like a smart person. He loves you. He says, I'm going to defer to you, which is very nice. But I get when you say, my parents say this, my parents say that. That's probably why he came up saying they might be jealous, whatever. I believe the parent, if your parents give you advice, I wouldn't tell your fiance, this is what my parents say. You can tell them on your own, this is what you thought about. But my opinion is become independent, build your relationship, don't move in. I agree. Don't worry about saving money right now. That will come. Don't worry. I promise you. Okay. But build your life. Do not move into the fucking basement. Whatever you do, do not do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you guys are you're going to be a new married couple. Like, start your life. You don't want to live in his parents' basement. Just think about that. Being like, just think about telling your friends, did you get an apartment? Oh, no, we live in his parents' basement.
Yeah, it's even more than that. I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but just like I'm saying, just the idea of that probably makes you cringe. So, and then it's definitely not going to be good for your relationship.
It won't be.
It's not going to be good for like the power dynamics, right? Like he's always going to have other people supporting him, right? He's going to have like his parents and all that stuff.
Yep, you're right.
I wouldn't always behind him.
And he's the man. Let him be the man. You be the woman in the relationship. You don't need the parents around.
And you'll probably think less of him as a husband if it's like you guys are living in his parents' house.
You know, if you were building a home and you needed 2 months to place to stay, different story. But I'm telling you, do not come up with excuses to the dog. There's always going to be excuses for why you should do it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, as a grown person, as a married person, as a father that's close with their kids, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. If my kids need to say, Dad, I need to stay for 30 days with this or that, whatever it is, different story. But to move in permanently, never happening. Don't you agree? It just doesn't. It's because you need your own independence. It's important for me as a parent to push you off to make you become adults. Say, you need to do this on your own. You need to figure it out. And everybody figures it out, Grace. You think you're the only one that's trying to save for a home? You think you're the only one having money problems? You think the only one saying it's hard to afford things? No, it's the way the world is. It's the generational thing. It's just where we're in society. But more importantly, money comes, money always goes. It's just you'll make money. I'm not worried about it. The foundation and the relationship and the love and support and having a healthy family, that's the hardest part. That's something that can never be broken. I get it. I want my kids around all the time, but they need their own freedom. They need their own independence. They need their own time. His parents love you guys. They're doing that out of a nicety. They're not doing that out of being selfish.
No, it's nice.
They're good people. And I understand because I want my kids around all the time. But that's not what's best for my kids. Don't move in, period. To me, this was an easy one. I appreciate reaching out to us, Grace. But it's an easy one. Do not move in.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Easy. Love you.
Love you,
guys, too. Keep writing in. Thank you for listening.
You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.